with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Be seated, please.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I do not have the verse. I'm sorry, y'all. I thought the verse was going to be up on the thing. My bad. Jeez, that's just a junior house.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
It is a beautiful Lord's Day, and it is another opportunity for us to enjoy fellowship with one another and this great blessing of worship that we have together. We're going to be hearing some things from our brother Bill Horton here at the close of our service regarding our efforts in the Ukraine. It was alluded to by our brother Dan during the giving portion of our service. And we look forward to hearing what he has to say. As most of you know, he has been a missionary in the Ukraine since probably before it was the Ukraine, back during the era of the Czars. Is that right? Goes back that far? Yeah. And he's married to a beautiful Ukrainian woman, our sister Luba, and they're wearing traditional Ukrainian garb today to draw attention to the plight of not only family members in the physical family that they have over there, but also our spiritual family and others who are impacted by the circumstances there. So I hope you'll be giving extra special attention to that at the appropriate time. I'm going to start a series today from the book of Colossians. We've got four lessons that are coming your way to encourage you in your walk of faith, to strengthen you and help you to see we have nothing to fear in this life. There are a lot of scary things that are happening, but Christians should be the ones who are leading the way with a calm spirit and confidence in a God who is over all things, a God who is never caught off guard. The Christians in Colossae were struggling. There were some teachings that were coming about Christ that were cutting their legs out from under them, so to speak. There were things that were pressing upon them from the political entities of the day. There were neighbors that were attempting to persecute them. And yet, the Apostle Paul is writing to them to encourage them in their place, in their time, that Christ is supreme. If Christ is not supreme, we need to be finding something else to be doing with our time. But if he is supreme, we have nothing to fear when we are clothed in Christ and a part of his body. Would you pray with me, please? Holy Father, we thank you so much for this day, and we're so grateful for this blessing, this time that we have, and the opportunity to share in your precious word. Speak to us from these ancient words, we pray, Father. Help us with our hearts and minds that we would be open and receptive to the things that you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are troubles in the world. There are uncertainties. And I'm going to say some things, and I don't want anybody to get upset. I don't want anyone to be offended. I may speak in hyperbole, but I want you to understand that your focus needs to be on God and not your troubles. Your focus needs to be on God and not what the news tells you to put it on. Now, there's a problem that's going on over in the Ukraine right now. In case anybody's been under a rock and comatose for the last 2 weeks. But there are problems all over the world. In a lot of different countries. This one happens to be prominent because of the aggression that is taking place. And there has been a threat of nuclear war. Now, since no one has interviewed Putin, where are they getting that information from? Did he give an interview and say, I'm going to use nuclear war? I'm going to use my nuclear weapons? Who's trying to scare you? Why do they want you to be scared? There is aggression, there is war, but why are they escalating that fear to such an unbelievable level? And why do we buy into it? Why are we buying into it? There's economic instability. Inflation that we haven't seen in over 40 years in this country. Gas prices going through the roof. The cost of food. Everything that we have is becoming more and more expensive, and we're not getting raises to keep up with it. So our income earning level is dropping because we're making the same we were before the inflation. Inflation hits. That means we're making less money because we can't buy as much with our money. And economic instability scares us. Diseases. We've been under a pestilence for 2 years in the world. A virus. We can argue over the origins, we can argue over the response, we can argue over a lot of things, but we've got the China flu, the COVID-19, coronavirus, or whatever it is that you prefer to call it. It's a reality. It's not the first virus to ever hit the earth. It's not the first virus to hit the earth in your lifetime if you're over the age of 10. Why are we so frightened? Why are we so scared? Why is it that the news media and our politicians and other people want us frightened? These are questions I want to answer without answering today. Would you please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 18. Remember, we're writing to Christians here. The Apostle Paul and Timothy are co-writing this letter. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You know what that word preeminence means? first place in all things. There were false teachers. There was political turmoil. There was persecution that was coming their way. And Paul said the solution to that was the supremacy of Jesus Christ in their lives. To put him first. And then everything else will take its proper place in our lives. Now, what I'm not telling you is to not be concerned about things. Your child gets a temperature, you don't sit back and go, oh, well, I believe in the supremacy of Christ. No, you take your child to the doctor. You get something to bring that temperature down. If there's somebody that's hungry, if there's somebody that's thirsty, if there's somebody that's naked, you don't say, I believe in the supremacy of Christ, and then not do anything to help them. You've got to help them. And so what I'm not saying is we ignore the troubles that are in the world. But let me tell you something. I'm old enough to remember fallout shelters and nuclear drills in school. This isn't my first rodeo with nuclear threat. And anybody that's around my age or older, it's not your first rodeo either, if you remember. I grew up on military bases. We practiced that all the time. Guess why? Because the military bases were going to be the first ones to get hit. And we went about our lives and we played on the playground and we played in the woods and we played ball team and we went to church and we went to the store and we went about our lives. We recognized the threat. We did what we could to do in our place and our time, what we could do to make it possible to not be completely impacted by it, caught unawares. But at the same time, we didn't allow it to control us. Now, Christians, what's controlling you? What's controlling your thoughts? What's controlling your actions? If it's not the supremacy of Christ, we're going to have a wake-up call this morning because we want to talk about the supremacy of Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about being delivered from darkness. The week after that, we're going to talk about if you have been raised with Christ. And the last lesson from Colossians is going to be the supremacy of Christ in our homes. Moms, dads, kids, grandparents, whoever it is that's involved in that household, that lesson's going to be for you. But if you are by yourself, that lesson's still for you because you can use that lesson to impact somebody else. We want to talk about the supremacy of Christ this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is the supremacy of Christ in relation to God. Look at verse 15, the first part. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. There is a sister verse in Hebrews, the opening chapter, verses 1 through 4, that helps to open up our mind to this idea. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He is the express image of the person of God. Jesus is that complete expression. He is the representation of God himself. Do you recall the night before he was betrayed, as he's talking to Philip in John 14, verse 9, and he says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is supreme in his relation to God because he's the second person of the Godhead. who came to live on earth to show us how to live and provide us a way back to the Father. Secondly, the supremacy of Christ in relation to creation. As you look at verses 16 and 17, there's a couple of things there that are extremely important for us to recognize. First of all, for by him all things were created, through him and for him. All things. Now, why is that important? That shows that he is supreme over creation. Creation includes human beings. It includes Vladimir Putin. It includes Joe Biden. It includes Zelensky. It includes Bill Horton and Mark Jameson. It includes all of us. He is supreme over all creation. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle John draws his readers to a very important point. After saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God," in verse 3, he says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Now, I want you to bear down on that with me for just a moment. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here, in the beginning was the Word. Those phrases are identical in their original construction. God made the heavens and the earth. God the Father is our architect. Jesus Christ is our contractor. Everything was made through him. Now, I want you to think with me. Put your thinking cap on. Christianity is a thinking religion. Who made the tree that was fashioned into a cross? Who put the iron in the ground that was fashioned into spikes? Who made the men that drove the spikes and hoisted Jesus between heaven and earth to die? Jesus did. You think when he made that tree, he knew what that tree was going to be used for? You better believe it. And he allowed it. Why? So he could show his supremacy as our sacrifice, providing and paving and pioneering that way to the Father. John 14, verse 6, a couple of verses previous to what we read a few moments ago, where he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He is the way to the Father. Jesus Christ is the creator of, and he is the ruler over all principalities and thrones. Go back to Colossians, verse 16. "All things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Does that include the Kremlin? Does it? Include the White House, Capitol Hill, Tallahassee, our city council. It includes all powers and principalities. Now, I don't know, but sometimes we got to get into our Bibles and read. I don't know why he's allowed this to happen at this time, but it did not happen without his notice, and it could not happen without his permission. I don't know the why, but I know that God sent the godless dictator emperor Sennacherib from Assyria to take out the 10 northern tribes. And he sent the godless dictator emperor Nebuchadnezzar to take out the southern kingdom. And he used a godless emperor in the Medo-Persian Empire to restore the Jews back to their homeland. I look at the history in the Bible, and God works through nations and leaders, even if they aren't his own. I don't know why, because God hasn't given me any insight into this. I don't know why we're facing what we're facing, but I can promise you that Jesus Christ is supreme over the Kremlin and over Putin and over Biden and everybody else involved in this situation. And if we're focused on Christ, we're going to be less worried. We still might be concerned, but we're going to be less worried about the outcome of this. We've got to put our faith in the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to mess you up. Quit listening to the pundits who are wrong on just about everything on every news channel on your television. Stop it. They've been wrong for the last 6 or 8 years on 90% of everything they've come on the TV and told us. And now you're going to believe everything they say right now. Stop. Believe that Jesus is supreme. Trust that he's going to let us know what we need to know. Now, that doesn't alleviate us from doing work that we need to be doing. And again, we're going to hear about some of the things we need to be doing. But if it doesn't start with the supremacy of Christ, all the rest of it is futile. He is before all things, also in his relation to creation. He is before all things. In John 8:58, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." In John 1:1, which we read a few moments ago, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was existent when the beginning happened, which means Jesus Christ is eternal. Nothing's going to happen to take him away from that status. There's not a thing any of you can do, a world leader can do, a military leader can do. No one can take that away from him. Do you want to trust in the mortal? Or you want to trust in the immortal? Too many of us trust in the mortal. We need to be trusting in the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In him, all things consist. We read in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 a few moments ago. Through him, all things are held together. Do you know when Jesus stops holding everything together, it's all going to dissolve. It's going to go away. But until that point in time, gravity's still going to work. That means we're not going to get flung off of this planet. That means the sun's going to come up at a particular time and the sun's going to go down at a particular time. That means the moon and its phases are going to continue to control the tides on this planet. That means that the currents are going to continue to change our climate from hot to cold and cold back to hot. It's going to happen. And we needn't be concerned that things are going to be just totally, I mean, people are going crazy right now. Who do you think needs to show the crazy people the way? Because if Christians get crazy, we're done for. We got to be the ones with a cool head on our shoulder, and we got to pay attention to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Like I said, we need to be concerned, but we need to stop all this fear-mongering. And trust in Jesus and his supremacy. He holds everything together. You know why your heart is beating in your chest right now? Because he's holding it together. And when he's ready for it to stop, it's going to stop. And there's not anything you or a doctor or anybody else can do about it. He is the sustainer of the universe. And if you know anything about the universe right now, as we measure space out there, the guys that don't have anything better to do have measured it as best they can at 20 billion light years from one side to the other. Do you know that if you stretched it 20 billion light years across this room, you could not, with the best microscope, find the earth? It's so tiny in that expanse. And if Jesus can hold all that together, I think he can hold us together right here. He's also supreme in his relationship in relation to the church. He is the head of the body, the church. There's a similar statement in the sister letter to the Ephesian church, written about the same time while Paul was in prison, where he makes the statement that Jesus is the head of the church, the body. He inverses body and church, but shows that it's the same thing. The body, the church. He is the head. And what does that mean? That means that he provides our direction and instructions for how we function as his church. Brother Dan doesn't do it. Brother Mark doesn't do it. Nobody else here does it. Jesus does through his word. We've got to go through it. We've got to read it. We've got to understand it. And when it comes to things like the benevolence that our brother Bill once again is going to be talking about here in a few minutes, we're trying to do that as biblically as we can. And doing the very best that we can to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ and not ourselves. This is a good one. He's supreme in his relation to death. Verse 18, once again, the second part. The firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the first to ever be raised from the dead eternally, to never die again. In Revelation 1, verse 18, John turns around and sees the resurrected Christ standing there, and Jesus says to him, "I have the keys to Hades and death." The keys are symbolic of authority over something. He has authority over death. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's coming a time when everything's going to be over with. He's going to deliver the kingdom up to his Father, and all things will be placed under his feet. The last enemy under his feet is death. Death is on its death's door, if you'll pardon the mixed metaphor. Because he defeated death when he came out of that tomb, never to die again. But we still have death, don't we? We have it in war. We have it in peace. We have it in health. We have it in illness. We have it young. We have it old. We have it black. We have it white. We have it male. We have it female. It's a one-to-one proposition. Nobody gets out alive. Death is still here, but he has authority over that death, which means that death cannot hurt us when we are in him. He's the firstborn from the dead, which means there's going to be a secondborn. Do you want to be a part of that? I do. And whether our death comes by nuclear holocaust or it comes while we're asleep in our bed, aggravating our wife, snoring, it matters not. Jesus is victorious over death. He has that authority. Now, when you think about all the troubles that we have in this world, and some things are very particular to your family. Some things are general throughout this entire audience. But I want you to think, Jesus Christ is the complete expression and representation of our Father in heaven. He is the creator of and ruler over all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. He rules them. They cannot do anything without him either allowing or causing. Jesus is eternal. That can never change. He is the sustainer of the universe. He's the head of the body, his church, and he has the authority over death. What are we so afraid of? Look at this list. The supremacy of Christ should be our guiding principle. It should be our northern star for all the things that we believe and do and say in this life. Stop listening to the world. The world is lying to you constantly because it is under the sway of the father of lies. Well, Jesus was a good teacher. He was a rabbi. He was just another rabbi. Well, Christianity is one of many ways to get to heaven. The world's lying to you. And the world lies to you about everything else. How to raise your children, how to treat your spouse, how to respect proper gender roles. All of those things, the world lies to you. Stop listening to the lies and listen to our Creator and Sustainer, the one who has all power over everything. The one who is supreme and eternal, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As was read at the opening, verses 1 through 3, but I want to throw in verse 4 as the icing on the cake. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. I want you to look at these verses with me very, very briefly as we put everything together in perspective. If you were raised, those of us that were raised from that watery grave of baptism, we are to seek the things above. While still below, we're to seek the things above. We're to set our mind on things above. While we're still below, set our mind on those things. For you died. That's your spiritual death. And then dying to your old self, crucifying the old man, being buried with him in baptism, being raised to walk in a new life. You died, and your life is where? Hidden in Christ. But don't miss verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears. When we recognize the supremacy of Christ, we can't help but make him our life. And our life is governed by him and his words and his comfort and the future that he has promised to us. That governs our lives. We still put gas in our car so we can make it to where we're going. We still buy food and put it on the table so we can have strength day by day. We still go see the doctor when we're sick. We still address needs in our life, but we do it with our focus on Christ and his supremacy in all things. Not on what our feeble, on our best day, our feeble understanding is of things. What's the outcome in the Ukraine? I don't know, but God knows. And I'm praying for a quick resolution, and I'm praying for the absence of loss of life, and I'm praying for a restoration of things in that place. And I'm praying for our dear sister over here who hasn't heard from her nephew in several days, and they hear from him every day. And I'm praying about those things. But for me to be fearful and sitting in the corner shaking in my boots because the people on television told me to, I can't do anything for Luba, for her family, or the people in the Ukraine doing that. And I can't do anything for my own soul either. Your first century Christians dealt with a lot that we don't even understand. They were marched off to be killed by lions and other means. You know what the early Christians would do when they knew they were on their way to their death? They would sing psalms. They would praise God. Are we praising God in the bad times just like we are in the good times? Because if we are praising God through the bad times, we're showing that we understand the supremacy of his Son and the plan that he has established for us. Our God is a good God. Our God knows things we can't possibly imagine. We've got to trust him. And we've got to acknowledge to him, God, I don't understand what's happening, but I trust that you're going to do what's right. You're going to make this right. Acknowledge that you don't understand. Acknowledge that you're concerned. Acknowledge these things to God, but then give it to him. Cast your care upon him because he cares for you, and let him deal with it. Do what you can, but trust God in the process. For Christ is supreme. He is over all. And because he is over all, when you belong to Christ, your life is hidden with him, and he is your life. Love him. Serve him. Give him your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let others see you doing that. There's 280,000 people in this county. I think we're just under that in here this morning. Look out. There's 279,000 and some change out there that need to see you blazing that path to Jesus Christ, showing them the things that are truly important and how to deal with the difficulties in this life. Are you doing that? I hope you are, and I pray you are. Because I'm here to tell you, we're at a crossroads in the church. We're at a crossroads. We've had it so good for so long in this country. We have no idea how good we've had it. All right, I'm going to stop preaching and go to meddling. We're sitting in an air-conditioned building with electricity sitting on padded pews. We drove in automobiles that got us here today safely. We've got clothing to wear. Not with holes, except for some of our younger folks that intentionally have holes. But it's not threadbare. It's not falling off of us. And for most of us, it's probably not the only thing we've got. You're going to go home and you're going to eat a meal in your house because you've got food at home and a refrigerator to keep it fresh. You got electricity at home. You can turn on the tap and water comes out. You've got indoor plumbing. And when you flush the toilet, it takes your waste out of your house and you don't see it anymore. You don't have to deal with it. You can take a hot shower. You can brush your teeth because you've got a toothbrush and toothpaste. You've got soap in the shower and shampoo. You got a job most of you are probably going to be going to tomorrow. You see where I'm going with this, Christians? We got it good, and we've had it good. And if the troubles that are over on the other side of the world make their way here, are you still going to be here when the electricity's off? Are you? Are you going to be here? Are you going to be here when these pews get carried out and there's nowhere to sit? Are you going to be here when you got to walk to get here? Because there's no gasoline at the gas station. Because you need to make a commitment, and you need to make it to the one who is your life or is supposed to be. Because we don't know what's coming. It may be this thing ends, everything goes back to the way it was 3 years ago, and we're all hunky-dory. Great. Don't count on it. We need to be prepared. But Jesus told us, in this country, again, we've had it good for 200 plus years as Christians. But Jesus told us, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. It's coming. It's been coming subtly for a long time. and they've been nipping at the edges for a long time. And we got to be ready, because when that hammer drops, are you going to confess Christ or are you going to deny Christ? There's nothing in between. Our brothers prepared a song for us to encourage us this morning. And as we sing this song, if you are moved to respond for prayers for yourself or another, to recommit your life to Him, or to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in submitting to being buried in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, that you can be added to the church, clothed in Christ, have those sins gone away. If you are moved to do that, there are going to be brothers down here waiting for you. Don't miss that opportunity to change. None of us knows what's going to happen this afternoon. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. But all we do know is the one who holds tomorrow. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to build. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. And I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am. Be seated, please. You want to use this one?
I'll use this one. We have several requests. When Mark was up there preaching about the supremacy of Christ, We put too much in man. We put too much emphasis on someone just like us, of flesh. And we need to be looking above, not below. I had a long 3-hour conversation with another brother who's an elder at another church about twice this size out in Texas. And we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You have peace when you have a sound mind. Okay, I'm not going to start meddling. We have several that have requests. First, we want to remember our brother Dan with surgery tomorrow morning. Then the Abrams, they have found a place. They have found a place. Andre has just been contacted. His sister is on a ventilator down in Fort Lauderdale on ICU, and we will mention her in prayer, as well as Jennifer Nicole Price, a friend of Charles. He's working with Ron, and they're trying to get a Bible to her at one of the privatized prisons up there in Tallahassee. I believe it's Gatson Correctional Facility. And he's working, and Gary is working too. Although Gary is not with us, he's with us in spirit, but still rehabbing with his procedure a couple of weeks ago. Zach is suffering from things that we too suffer, and it's the addiction of sin. So he's working also with Ron and several others, and he's requesting for freedom and submission. So let's bow to God in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, if we can just keep your Son foremost focus, but we're still here in this sinful world, and we're begging for your sovereign providence on our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, as well as Zambia, Central America, Panama, Honduras, El Salvador, and other parts that are receiving help from the church. Father, we also ask for your sovereign providence upon our brother Dan Bryant. Be with the medical team that you would direct their thoughts, you would direct their fingers, that everything is synchronized right, and Dan is have a very successful surgery. Father, we give praise to you. Thank you for being with the Abrams. We appreciate the contribution of their sons who have gone through last leaders and done other things. Just bless this family and help us as shepherds to nurture them and to guide them for the weeks to come. Father, we all get caught up, as Mark mentioned in his sermon. Everything is going up, so we have to tighten the belt and put away the potato chips and ice cream and maybe just eat rice and beans. But Father, just bless us with wisdom, because we are saturated with wealth compared to other parts of the world, as was also mentioned in the sermon. Father, we ask you to be with the Abrams' dear sister, Vicky. She's on a ventilator, Father, and we just pray that if it is your will that she come to an understanding of your word, or steady in your word, just strengthen her. Father, we also ask for your mercy and kindness upon the Wallace and the Walker family as they're making preparation to celebrate Tracy's life. And we pray especially for the son, Theatres. Father, be with our brother, Zach. Thank you for his courage. He came and boldly says that he needs freedom from the bondage of sin. And Father, we too are too bonded up with that 1,000-channel idiot box that's in our room and bedroom. Help us to break away from that and to come to you in prayer and study. So have mercy on us and our habits. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge Christ. Forgive us when we fall short. We ask you to be with our leaders, and we just pray again for your sovereign providence to just acknowledge Jesus. We love you. Continue to be with us the rest of this day. It is in your Son, Jesus' holy, righteous name, we pray and glorify. Amen.
Good morning. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of our visitors and invite you to come back and worship with us again. Also, thank you for your interest in the needs and the events of our congregation by reading our weekly bulletins that are available both in printed form and through email. Please remember all of our sick and shut in, all those who are grieving and those who are going through difficult times. Your prayers, cards, visits, and phone calls are appreciated. Prayers are requested for Pat Gordon, a member of the West Milton Church of Christ, who is here in town to have her foot amputated due to some bone cancer. She has also had that surgery delayed because she has tested positive with COVID. So please pray for her and her family. This time we'll have a closing prayer and closing song. No? Okay.
Oh, come on. If I could get the elders who are present to come up here just a moment before Bill has his presentation. We want to have a prayer for them. Bill's getting ready to give us some information and some things that we can do, and we want to have prayer. Yeah. Would you join us, please? Holy Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, yes. And we're so grateful for the beautiful example that Bill and Lubov have set, for their heart for the Ukrainian people long before this invasion ever occurred, for the love that he has had by traveling many times over. For Luba, for the extended love she has to her family and others in her home country. Father, as they carry this enormous burden of concern for family, for brothers and sisters in Christ, and for others who are outside of Christ, we pray that you would strengthen them in their efforts, that you would allow them, Father, to fulfill your purpose and glorify your name through their efforts, that they would be able to raise the awareness necessary to meet the needs that are so needed at this time. Father, we ask you to be with Luba's nephew that they've lost touch with. Father, bring him safely back to the family. May the family find safety in their homes and their shelters. And for those who have to leave, may her family have safe passage to another place so they can be restored to their country when this ends and resume their life in their homeland. Father, bless Bill and Luba, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you, and I told my class a while ago that I promised to keep within an hour. But Ramon reminded me 5 minutes, so somewhere between 5 minutes and an hour. So, dear brothers and sisters and friends, it's a pleasure to come to you, but of course, we have heavy hearts, and if I break down in the middle of this, you'll understand, please, because things are pretty grim over in Ukraine. I want to thank you, first of all, for your support over the last few years. We've only been here a few years in this congregation, and you have embraced us and the ministry that we have chosen to go into. I believe that the Lord is our guide. And therefore, when we do something, we want to make sure that what we do is something that would please Him. We have no pride in ourselves, but only in our God. So, it's a terrible war that's going on in Ukraine right now, but God is there. And I would have to say that I'm proud of people in Ukraine who are, many of them are not Christians, but they do believe in God, and they are trusting that God will see them through this. And what we want, of course, is if they do not have a trust in God, that is full and vibrant, that it will grow as a part of their life as they are going to be living through this time. We don't know how long. So Luba and I are grateful for your prayers and for your contributions, which you have provided over the last few years, feeding kids and doing other things to give glory to God in Ukraine. Some of you have told us that you're praying for our family as well as for the people over there in general, and we want to thank you for your prayers. I know that prayer is going to make things happen. We're told that those who are righteous, and when they pray, that God hears their prayers. And so we are grateful for that. Since Russia invaded Ukraine just 10 days ago, we've been able to get in touch with the ladies that are the only members of the church left in Toretsk over in eastern Ukraine. They are doing well. They have not had anything happen to them, no injuries. Nobody has died. They are being protected by our Lord, and they are certainly steadfast in their love for him. They had just received a large box of warm clothing just before the invasion. They were so grateful that they had these clothes to wear. They also had managed to squirrel away $300 for a rainy day fund, but the trouble is it's been snowing all the time. So that was funny. But the problem is that it is snowing and it is cold, and they do now have warm clothes to wear. But in the rainy day fund, which was $300, they are not able to do much because stores are closed and there's not much flour left in the bakery to bake bread, so they are running out of food. Last Thursday, a truck from Dnipro arrived and was able to bring supplies to the hospital, which had run out of supplies. And we also have a sister there. Luba's sister is in the church there in Toretsk. Her name is Nadia. And she has held everybody together by her faith. So shortly after the invasion began, the school authorities, where we've been feeding children with your contributions every school day, they came to us and said, by phone, they came and said, could you give us permission to take the money that we have on hand that you all had sent and use that money to feed the military people that are here helping us to defend ourselves. The amount of money that was available was a little over $500. And so we said, yes, go ahead. You're not using it to feed kids now, so feed the people that are defending you. They were so grateful, and the military officers thanked them on their behalf as well as the country. So the school's been closed for about a month and a half, so that money had accumulated from what you were sending. And so $580 worth of food has been gone to support the ones who are defending them. So many of you have been praying for Nadia, and she's very sick. She's been very sick for a good while. But she is a woman who has great faith and great hope. She has held things together in her family now for several years, but she is a rock. And so we're grateful to have her staying there. And we talk to her regularly. That is, we have been talking to her, but it's very doubtful about being able to continue having communication with her. The worst situation seems to be in Mariupol, which is a port city in eastern Ukraine. It seems that the Russians have made up their mind that they're going to take that city regardless of how much damage they have to do. And so they have encircled the city. They have turned off the water. They've turned off just about all of the utilities, and the few people that are still there are reduced to having to stay in their bomb shelters day and night. So that's exactly what has been happening with Luba's nephew and his family. They are not getting to have a route out of town, even though the Russians had promised there would be a green passage from the city. That has not happened. So the city is really on its last legs as far as being a viable metropolis. The last message we got from her nephew says he was able to send a text. No power, no water, no heating, but otherwise, we're doing okay. If you call it okay, we're taking care of each other. We're still alive. 3 days ago, 2 days now, well, 3 days ago was our last message. And so for 2 days, we haven't heard from anyone. We don't know whether they're still alive or not. But Sergei's wife and their younger daughter are living together there, and they have people as neighbors who have gotten into their basement. You see here we're talking about two places where they have under their house for keeping vegetables, but now they have about 5-10 people that are in that situation. Not a very comfortable place to be 24 hours a day, but that's where they are. It's the only place that's safe at the moment. But you should be grateful to God that they have not been harmed. They have not been killed. There is nothing that has happened to them that they can't handle by God's grace. They have another daughter who lives in Zaporozhye, and you probably had never heard of that town before this weekend, but that's where the atomic energy plant was set on fire by fireworks from the Russians. And there is a danger there that we've been told about. We don't know how dangerous it is, but anytime you have a fire going in a atomic-powered plant, that sounds dangerous to me. But their daughter, who is living there in Zaporozhye, has stayed in touch with us. So we are hearing from her, even though we're not able to hear from the other members of the family. We also have communicated briefly with the church in Ivano-Frankivsk, which is in the western part of the country. We learned that one of the sisters there in Ivano-Frankivsk has taken 8 people. That lady we baptized the last time we were working over there. She has turned out to really be a very strong Christian. She's helped a lot. And the ones that she's hosting are people that immigrated to Western Ukraine from Eastern Ukraine, from Sumy, and they are all holed up there, but looking forward to maybe being able to move on farther west and perhaps immigrate to Poland. And that we'll find out whether that happens or not. Meanwhile, her husband and her son have joined the Territorial Defense Unit in that section to go out and participate in defense of that part of Ukraine. Some of the women and their children there in Ivano-Frankivsk have made it to Poland, and they are going to be helping in the distribution of relief supplies that I think you have heard us mention, the buckets program. You fill up a bucket of things that are needed, and then those are shipped to Poland. They are met by the Church of Christ there, and then they're distributed to people that have managed to get to Poland. And believe me, it's amazing what God has done there, because over 1 million Ukrainians have arrived in Poland, and they're going to be served by you and your contributions, as well as many churches of Christ, particularly in the southeast. One couple on their way to Poland wrote this text. They said, waited in line for 48 hours with our two children to go through the border control to Poland. Thank you for all your prayers and care. Their fear of air raids and missile explosions turn you into a different creature entirely. That's what they're saying in their message. Pray for those who live in areas subjected to daily airstrikes. Our problems, they say, seem superficial in comparison. That's written by the man who, the husband of the woman who is now, we hope, in Poland. That's, they were on their way. They were waiting in line at the border to get in. Our friend Yvonne, who is preaching and also teaching Bible lessons almost daily there, is really holding everybody up, like our brother Mark gives us a little more backbone, perhaps, than we had before. I love that sermon. And I feel like I was chastened by what you preached. We do not want to live in fear. And we do not want our brothers and sisters to be afraid either. We don't want them to worry. We want them to be confident that God is still in charge. In the situation they're in over there, they are so short on males to carry on their side of the war that they're not allowing males between the ages of, I think it's 16 and 60 or maybe 80, maybe 90. I don't know. They can't leave the country because they're needed to protect the country. The capital, Kyiv, is under heavy threat. And the news you have been long hearing about, the convoys are bringing in reinforcements for the Russians. And the people that are in Kyiv are begging Europe and the USA to help Ukraine from the sky, since many of the Ukrainian planes and airports were destroyed by the Russians before they invaded. So we know several church members, sons and fathers, who joined the territorial defense units, even though they had never in their lives had even held a gun before. They are volunteering to risk their lives to protect their country. Our friend and surgeon, Natalia, in Kyiv, told us Friday, it is very hard to see our beautiful buildings, historic monuments, museums, brutally destroyed. It is painful to see our people, our children, losing lives, being wounded, but we are not giving up. We Ukrainians are strong. We will win. Many people in the world are praying for us. And this is true. We know that you are praying for the people in Ukraine, not just the Christians, but we're praying for everyone that is involved in this war. And I don't care whether you approve or not, but I pray for the Russians. And the Ukrainians. So since we are unable to conduct a person-to-person ministry under our current circumstances, what can we do? Well, the most important thing for all of us to do is pray. You might think I was going to ask for you to give money, but that's not it. The most powerful tool that you have at your disposal is to pray, to pray. I've heard people say, well, I guess we have no chance for anything else, so we'll just have to pray. No, we pray, and we do what we can do. Sorry, a little unnerving. We can donate to help the Ukrainians who are now refugees. Most of the help we're going to send now is through Poland or Romania, other friendly nations, because it's very difficult to get things into Ukraine right now with the war. There's a war going on. We are concerned that this war may continue for a long time, So we need to remain committed to our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well to all the people who are in danger. The lady I spoke of a few minutes ago, who we baptized not too long ago, and who has people staying in her house as refugees, she called us this morning, and she said, here's a message from some of the brothers in Ukraine. They're saying they are joining us in our worship service. If they still hear what I'm saying, I hope it will be encouraging to them. They are happy that you are praying for them. Thank you.
The elders of this congregation, we know that our brothers and sisters and the people in Ukraine, they are in desperate need. And so time is the essence. And based on our previous experience with this congregation's generous heart that you have shown in disaster relief, so we are partners with Healing Hands International. It says associated with the Churches of Christ. They have the capabilities and the logistics to send out, to ship any help any part of the world. Healing Hands International, which is the same warehouse where the disaster relief is in Nashville, Tennessee. So they are preparing at least 10,000 buckets filled with supplies for the people in Ukraine, and they will be sent it to Poland. And so, they, like I said, they have their logistics and to accomplish this. So many Churches of Christ, they already responded to this call, and they are providing their funding for the Healing Hands International to accomplish this goal. So the elders of this congregation, based on faith and past experience, we send a check that is already being received, Healing Hands International, in the amount of $10,000. So we asked the congregation, we took this fund from the general fund. So the next Sunday, we are appealing to you that you can write a check or provide help to this cause. So next Sunday, then, be prepared, if it's in your heart, to support our brothers and the people in Ukraine. So you write the check, Ukraine effort, and then once we replenish this money, whatever above that is being collected, then we're going to send it to Healing Hands International to continue with this help. Now, we're hoping that our main contact is Brother Bill and Luba, that we are ready to continue support them, not just with our prayers, but also with our financial effort. So that would not be a doubt, brothers, that we are committed to help our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. That is a fact. At this point, I would like to pray. Then there's not enough, so I would like to pray because I feel compelled to do this. Father, like we understand, practically we don't understand the reason why, like Mark said. But we know, Lord, that in the midst of evil and darkness, your people have rise up, and we show that it's we trust in you, Father, that something good has to come out of this. And you have put in our hearts, Lord, to be united with our brothers and sisters and the people in Ukraine, that we are praying for them, that we're saying that we love you, that we are with you in spirit, and we cry now to our mighty God that he is the one that has everything under control. Father, protect your people. You love them, and I pray that in their heart they have the confidence that you are going to take care of them. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen, indeed. It is obvious we are living in a world that is unsettled in significant ways. Ukraine is but one example. My prayer this morning, as we do a closing song and prayer that'll end our time, is that you will leave solidified and contented in your heart of a God who provides safety and watchful care. Would you stand, please, as we share this hymn and then our closing prayer? You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heaven before there was time, and Lord of all, Lord, you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all, Lord, you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You are King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear most powerful Heavenly Father, we worship you, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for all the things you give us in this life. Lord, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the message that was delivered here this morning. Please help us to take it with us in our daily lives and apply it in that way. Lord, continue to be with all the people of this world and help us to turn from the things of this world and keep our focus on you. Stay with us always, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.